Good morning. The reading this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians, it's chapter 12, verses 4 to 11, if you'd like to follow along. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given, through the Spirit, a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word that gives us life. May today you bless both David as he brings your message, and us as we listen by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much, Neil. It's great just to see folks. And yeah, welcome back to those who've been in Wales and a couple who went to Wales, David and Maggie. This is their last Sunday before they head to Hobart back in Tasmania. And then they hopefully come back again like they often do next year. But David and Maggie, we just want to say we've been so appreciative of the way you just throw yourselves into the life of the church while you're here. Can we just encourage them and thank them? God bless you. We'll miss you. And I just can't miss an opportunity as well just to say welcome back to Fiona. Fiona used to be part of our band, and when she was a student here and working at the university, she was she was so involved in the life of the church. And Fiona's graduating tomorrow. We're picking up your graduation. So we just want to say welcome back, Fiona. It's lovely to see you too there. You know, it is a special thing being a church family, and as we had a few weeks ago, some new members become church members and saying, yes, I want to be part of the vision of the church and what we're about. One of the things that we have from time to time, about three times a year, is a church members meeting. That's for those who said, yeah, they want to be kind of officially part of this church. And we had a great lunch last week, a few folks who were saying they were interested in becoming members kind of came along to that, and you're welcome. Look out for that in the future. We'll do that again. That seemed to really work well. But next Sunday evening is our next church members meeting. So 7:30, there'll be an email going out today with the agenda for those. So do look out for that if you're a member of the church. But if you're just here visiting, or if you've been around for a while and you're thinking, I'm not a member yet, I just want to say you are such a precious part. And I'm just kind of wired where those who have just started coming along, this is maybe your first Sunday, just so excited you're here. And it's a real privilege that you could join us today. I also want to say one of the things we've been learning and trying to adapt through the pandemic is just what are the things that we need to kind of go back to doing as we did before, and what are the things that we need to just recognize things have moved on and we need to do differently. And one of the things that we just were talking about this week was how we do our kind of giving moment as part of our worship. So many give in the life of the church to just enable God's work in this city and around the world. And we kind of recognize we sometimes, we often put this link up. We've got a great link and loads of information there. And if you're watching online, you can click on the link now. Obviously, that's kind of harder to do if you're in the building. But we just wanted to recognize we didn't feel it was the right time yet to say, let's go back, or even if that was even the answer, to go back to how we did it before. But it created a moment, didn't it? When we kind of, as part of our worship, gave our gifts. And it just, it's a wonderful way to say, God, we love you. Here, we're giving. And a lot of us do in a number of different ways. You can obviously give in person as you leave. We've been doing that if you've kind of got a gift that you've brought with you. But each week we thought we'd just profile, maybe not every week, but from time to time, different ways that people can give. And then just try and say, look, let's recognize this important part of our worship. So this week, if you go to the link, you'll see that one of the ways you can give is by standing order. And many of the people in the church give by that. And I just want to say, this past few weeks, a number of people have asked Johnny, how do they start giving regularly to the church? And it just so has encouraged Johnny. And Helen's right at the back there. She's our finance coordinator. And I don't know what people give, but Helen and just a very small team that she has around her to help her with the finances kind of organize that. But if you want to start giving regularly to the church, do check out the giving link there, and that will explain how you do that. But should we just pause and just say, thank you, Lord, for your amazing generosity to us. He's good God, isn't he? And Lord, in this moment, we just say we receive afresh from you everything we have. And we do want to say, keep leading and guiding all of us in our giving and our stewarding of what you've given to us. Lord, I thank you for the huge privilege of giving. And Lord, we offer you now all that has been given this week and month by standing order. And we just, in whatever way, Lord, we just give it to you as an offering of praise in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. So, what a week. As we kind of continue on in our series on the spiritual gifts, and this week think particularly about some of the gifts that God's given us that have to do with our speaking, our kind of like speaking gifts, I want to just say I was thinking about the kind of political drama that's been going on with the Prime Minister's resignation. Maybe like me, you kind of found so gripped by the kind of various sort of 48 hours of kind of remarkable days and seas in Westminster. I think it is fair to say unprecedented resignations. And maybe what actually I found so interesting was how many people, politicians, I heard speak about the importance of integrity and truth. And you know, one of the things that God put on my heart for today as I was preparing was just this simple phrase that I've just asked Ben to put up on the screen here. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. Should we say that together? Words are powerful. And it cuts both ways. I think one of the things we've seen in this week is just how lies destroy lives. Lies destroy lives. One article in a newspaper I saw had the headline, "The Cost of Lying Crisis." And I hope you do know that when we misuse our words, it is really damaging. It hurts us and it hurts others. But also, the opposite is true. When we speak things that are true, that are powerful, that we kind of, it's amazing how powerful those words are. I was really struck again this week with just how simply by their words of saying, right, I'm going to do this because I believe integrity is important. I'm going to say, I'm going to send a resignation letter, or I'm going to say that actually it really matters that truth in government is important. That actually, and by the power of people's words, it's overcome the kind of power of that prime ministerial office. I mean, that's quite something. Words are powerful. And I think part of the reason it particularly tapped into something is because actually, without realizing it, when many of these politicians were speaking, they were speaking words that actually are kind of almost straight out of God's word. I found myself listening, and this proverb kept on coming back to my mind. It's a proverb that probably not many of them know, but it was echoed in a lot of what was said. This is the proverb. Proverbs 14:34 says this, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people." And it felt like there were people saying, we can't have this kind of situation where all these kind of different scandals and lies and things are happening. Something has to change. And you know, God's word is powerful. When God speaks, things happen. God spoke and creation, and you only need to walk outside and see the beautiful sky and sea, and you think, wow, God spoke and creation. Look around you at the amazing, beautiful diversity in the way God's created us and made us and all different backgrounds. But you know, when God came to earth, when Jesus came, he spoke. And with his words brought transformation and healing and salvation, even brought the dead back to life. Wow. And then the church, inspired by the Spirit, we read in the book of Acts, speaks and things happen. It's like the ministry of Jesus continues in and through the ministry of the church as by God's Spirit, he gives people spiritual gifts that speak with power and authority. And it is amazing to see again salvation and good news and transformation happening in the lives of people. So I want to say, church, your words, our words, are powerful. Last week we were thinking about the introduction to spiritual gifts in the first part of 1 Corinthians 12. And one of the things that we saw is a number of different sort of principles for using and thinking about spiritual gifts. We saw that spiritual gifts are important to understand and use. Paul the Apostle, earlier on in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, I don't want you to be uninformed. So it's important to be informed. That's why we're doing this series. We saw in the early part of 1 Corinthians 12 that spiritual gifts are Jesus-focused and Jesus-serving. Jesus is Lord was one of the things we were thinking about last week, and it's written over the front of the church, but it's so much more important. It's written over our lives. Jesus is Lord. And also, we were seeing last week how spiritual gifts are different, but they're united. There's the same Spirit at work in us. And 1 Corinthians 12 is not the only place where we have a list of gifts. We're going to look in these coming weeks at some kind of two groups of spiritual gifts. So the first is the speaking gifts, and the second is the serving gifts. And actually, one of the lists in 1 Peter 4 kind of brings out these two elements. This is what the Apostle Peter says. Each one of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And then do you want to read this bit with me? If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides. Just pause there before we go on, Ben. If anyone speaks, or if anyone serves. He kind of, in those two words, encapsulates loads of different spiritual gifts in both of those two categories. But in both, it's through God's strength. It's God's enabling. It's God's power. I think we can see as it goes on what he says. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. That's how the Apostle Peter ends it. We could almost stop there. But I want to just dig into some of these specific gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11. And I'm going to just pick out some of the speaking gifts. And we don't have time to look at all of them. So let me just help you see them. So he says in verse 8, to one there is given the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. And there's two gifts there, message of wisdom and a message of knowledge, which have a speaking aspect, but they can also be amazing in terms of what they release as we kind of serve and help. Often a word of knowledge can really help release something in healing for someone's life. So these next couple of weeks, we might touch on bits of both of those. But then if you go on, it says in verse 9 some of the different kind of serving gifts. And then in verse 10, it says, again, to another, miraculous powers. We'll think about that more next week. To another, though, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. So I'm going to take some time this morning to just unpack a little bit about some of those speaking gifts mentioned in that list. I want to highlight as well, there are others. So in Ephesians 4:11, you see a list of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. A lot of those have to do with speaking. And in Romans 12, there's a lot of the serving gifts mentioned, but there are also mentioned the gift of encouraging and the gift of leading, which involves often both a speaking and a serving part. Now, not all will have a speaking gift, because not all the gifts are for everyone. Did you notice it said to another this and to another that? And if you look at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, it's really clear. Do all have this gift? Do all have this gift? Do all have that gift? So not all of us will have a speaking gift. But before you go, oh, great, I don't have a speaking gift, I'll just tune out and enjoy soaking up the sunshine and the warmth in this. I want to say, actually, this is a subject that's relevant to us all. Because whether we have a speaking gift or not, we are all blessed and helped through the speaking gift of those who have these various gifts. I think about the teaching gift. I have many, many times, in many different churches, including this one, sat in through a message and just been so helped and encouraged as I've listened to what people have shared. But I want in this time, though I'll touch on things like the teaching gift or a gift of evangelism, I want to particularly focus on these gifts of prophecy and of tongues and of the interpretation for tongues, because I think sometimes those are the ones that people find harder to understand. And actually, sometimes in my own past and even in the history of this church, there's been a question about, are those gifts still in operation today? And though I sometimes wondered that myself, as I dug into the scriptures, as I talked to different people, as I looked and saw what I saw in the world, in church history and in the church, I could see no place in the Bible where there was any indication that these different spiritual gifts were going to stop. There was no indication of that at all in scripture. In fact, the complete opposite was there, that the indication in scripture was that these were gifts that were given to help the mission and the life of the church, and the sense was very clearly that they were to continue on. And then you see that in operation, and often where you see the gifts at work, there is immense blessing that comes through that. So I want to just highlight as well, as we get into this time, that there's a little word, a couple of words, that gets used 8 times in our reading. Did you notice it? It says, to another. To another, to another, to another. So we really mustn't miss, as we talk about these different gifts, that it might not be ones that all of us, you know, have. The implication is that there will be difference. And yet, 5 times, it says this, that the one or the same Spirit is the one who gives them. So there's, again, this difference, but unity. And it says very clearly in verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. How wonderful is that? Here we go, Jen, that's your gift. Oh, and Luca, that's your gift. And Bethany, just for you, we've got this gift. Oh, and Rispa, so wonderful to see you serving this week in the life of the church in a very hidden way. How wonderful. And Jackie, here's this gift for you and this gift for you, Rispa. And Steve, so thankful for your speaking gift going out to Wales and doing each one just as determined. Isn't that wonderful? So, whatever gift you have, we're all going to be helped by understanding more about these gifts so that we can understand and see how they're for the common good. So I want to just speak first about how, as we think about the speaking gifts, let's listen. Let's listen. You know, listening and learning to listen is a key part of learning to speak. And many of these spiritual gifts are to do with how we need to first listen before we speak. And in fact, one of the things that whenever we want to exercise a spiritual gift, it's got this sense that we're believing that somehow the God who made heaven and earth is somehow wanting to speak through us. We used to sing a song when I was growing up. This is a little kind of bit of a crazy insight into my family, but one of the special things we used to do is we used to have kind of family devotions where we'd sometimes sing together. Now, we're not all great singers in our family. I've married into a much more musical family than my family. But we used to sing, and we sing sometimes a really simple song. We sang this song. I'm going to give it a go because this will just show you how a bit kind of weird it is. But the song used to go, God has something to say. God has something to say. Listen, listen, pay close attention, for God has something to say. And then as we'd all be singing around, whoever this kind of go it was would pick someone in our family. And you could then share a verse that you'd know or be learning, or a bit of a verse. So it might be, God so loved the world. And we were being taught that when we shared things from God's word, that God had something to say through us. And it was a powerful thing to learn. But here's the thing. That song says, listen, listen. Pay close attention, for God has something to say. And I just think that's such a wonderful thing for us to remember. Look, if God is a God who's a speaking God, and he is, if he wants to speak through his church in various ways, and particularly through his word, as that inspires and helps us understand the speaking gifts, we need to listen, listen, and pay close attention. You know, at the simplest, any of our spiritual gifts involve believing that God wants to speak something through us. And that's why God's word is so important. And, you know, one of the things that we must kind of watch out for is kind of getting too far away from this book. You know, even Paul with his teaching gifts commended the Bereans because he says they were of more noble character than some of the other cities because they eagerly searched the scriptures to see if what Paul was saying is true. So do have this book open in front of you as we go through this series. And I want to focus just now in this particular bit on Let's Listen on this gift of prophecy, which really needs to start with us being listening to God. And that's true of teaching, of course. You often need to be taught or listen to God's word in order to teach others. But I want to just focus on that aspect in prophecy. 1 Corinthians 12:10 said, to another is given this gift of prophecy. And actually in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1, if you turn over the page, it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. And it goes on then and talks in 1 Corinthians 14 how in a public setting, he kind of says, actually prophecy is in many ways more useful than speaking in tongues. And really his argument in verse 4 and 5 is this: anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. So he says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless somebody interprets so that the church may be edified. And we'll come on to the speaking in tongues bit in a bit. But what he's basically saying is, look, because love is such a key part, 1 Corinthians 13, in this whole thing of speaking gifts, that actually the gift of the prophetic can help build others up. And it's clear, and that is the context for it, to build others up. You know, I was once, quite a few years back now, at a conference on growing in the prophetic. To be honest, I didn't really know much about it or had much experience of it. But at this conference, someone tapped me on the shoulder, and I remember it so clearly. I was standing next to John Elborn, who's helping with the live stream right now, and Phil Duke, you were there just a bit further along the scene. Someone tapped me on the shoulder, and I didn't know them from Adam. But, you know, it was a lady. She tapped me on the shoulder, and she handed me a bit of paper, and she just said, I just really felt that God had a word for you. And she just gave me this thing. So I opened up the bit of paper. And I remember John Elborn leaned across and said, kind of, what is it? And as I read this bit of paper, this is what it said. It said, don't rule yourself out because God doesn't rule you out. And then it had some other stuff about God's love and heart for me. And At that time, there was quite a big thing going on in my life and in our life as a church, and I'd ruled myself out. And I didn't know how she knew, but what it made me realize was that God knew. And actually, though it was a bit of a challenging word, yet it was actually so affirming because it was reminding me God knows my situation. I mean, we know that in Scripture, but it reminded of me personally that in such a powerful way. And so when John asked me, what does it say? I just said, it says God loves me. Now, that's not news. That's here as plain as anything. God loves you. He knows your situation. But when someone brings a prophetic word that seems to speak into your situation, it's amazing how it can build us up and encourage us in a remarkable way. You know, I found it so helpful at that conference. They said some things. You know, sometimes the prophetic is so simple that we miss it. God just puts a kind of nudge or a whisper or a little prompting on your heart. And he kind of said, actually, one of the things we sometimes do is we think, well, you know, the prophetic gift, that's only for super mature Christians. You know, if you're really kind of tall in stature, then, you know, then you kind of have that. Rather than realizing, actually, these are gifts that are given to believers. Do you believe? Then God wants to give you gifts. And he used this illustration, Ben. I'm going to just try and grab my thing from upstairs. You know how you have some bits in your room which are like on the top shelf, kept away because you don't want anyone to break them, particularly the kids? We keep our kind of glass vases up there. We don't really, I realized, have that many great vases. But we're not really into kind of super special things. But these still are on the top shelf. So I went and got one of our glasses. And it's, you know, to be honest, our kids are a bit older now, but even still, I think in our kind of house, these could easily get broken. So it's okay that they're on the top shelf, but the idea is they're on the top shelf so that the kids can't reach them. And actually, because if they break and smash, people can get hurt and things can get damaged. We keep the glasses on the top shelf, the vases on the top shelf, but we keep the Lego where anyone can reach it. That's what we do. And any kids who come around, as long as they're not super small, and we used to have the Duplo, which again was there, but it's just because it's there to be used. And you can try it out. And Lego might not be your thing. It might not be your gift, but it's safe to use it. It's okay to try it and go, oh, yeah, no, that wasn't for me. Because the thing about God's gifts is they're for his children. And we, if you believe in Christ, are his children. And the gifts, the spiritual gifts, none of them are on the top shelf. None of them. They're all here, laid out, accessible. You can today kind of say, oh, do you know what? I'd love someone to pray for me for that gift, that prophetic gift, because I don't know, I might see if at work this week or in my community group, there might be a chance just to say something that could bless others. And so, guys, remember the Lego. The gifts of God are accessible to us. And also, Lego can't really do much harm. And with the prophetic gift, I think one of the reasons we sometimes think it's on the top shelf is we confuse it with the Old Testament prophets. Thus said the Lord. And it's like adding a key bit of scripture. And that's what the Old Testament prophets were. It was scripture. But New Testament prophecy is not like that. It's much more helpful rather than just kind of say, thus said the Lord, to just say, you know, I have a sense that God might be saying. Because the reality is, prophecy needs to be weighed. And it's weighed against this. And it's weighed with others. And that makes it safe. You don't need to worry. You know, you can go, and I've done this with the elders or with the person hosting, you know what, I think God might be saying this. And sometimes they just think, great. But they don't use it or ignore it. And this is where, this is quite a helpful little pattern with prophecy. There's a kind of listening, then a speaking, and then a listening again. There's a kind of, what is God saying? Right? I'll go and share that with someone who can weigh it. And 1 Corinthians 14 actually talks about that at the end of the chapter. And then I'll listen to what they say as they weigh it. And they may think, yeah, this is good or not. So there's a safety in that. And that's why the gifts can be on the bottom shelf. I wonder if we got that there on the screen, Ben. Just listen, speak, listen. Such a helpful thing with the prophetic. Listen, okay, I'm going to go share this with someone. Then I'm going to listen to what they say. Oh, yeah, that could be good, but maybe not for this context. Okay. That doesn't seem quite like it fits with Scripture. Okay, that's really helpful feedback. Listening is a key part. Okay, I want to just move on to the next thing, and this little bridge might help us. This week I heard from a friend of mine, Alice, who doesn't live in this city. I was on a Zoom call with her, and she said her hairdresser had said to her this week, her hairdresser's not a Christian, her hairdresser had said, the church isn't really saying anything at the moment, and we really need to hear from it. Not a Christian. The church isn't really saying anything at the moment, and we really need to hear from it. I just want to say, as we kind of move there now, to think about not just how we listen, but how we speak. You know, I believe God has something to say through us as the church. I believe the church needs to keep finding its kind of prophetic voice in society, its voice that brings a message that is able to bring something of Christ and of his word into situations. So let's listen, but let's also speak. You know, one of the main things we need to speak about is about Jesus, is about the fact that in a cost of living crisis, in a world at war, in whatever the world's going through, there is good news. You know, what is most wonderful for you and your neighbors and your family is free, not because it is cheap, but because God has paid for it with the death of his son, so that you and I might know we're loved and be free from guilt and from shame, that we might have hope for eternal life. The most wonderful things that anyone in the UK or in the world can have are free because someone paid a huge price for it. What a great message. In fact, if you're thinking about how to bring that good news, you might just want to look for an opportunity to tell someone this week God loves them. God loves them. I've got a word for you. I just sense God might have something he wants to say to you. God loves you. That's getting you kind of going in both being an evangelist and being kind of prophetic. But, as you say that, they might say kind of, how do you know that? Or why do you say that? And you say, well, then I want to just tell you about what Jesus has done on the cross. Well, let me tell you about this verse, for God so loved the world. So there's this spiritual gift of evangelism, which means that some people particularly are able and enabled to do that. But actually, don't let that kind of make you think, well, I don't need to do it then, because actually we're all called to be witnesses. There's a part we all have to speak, just as some are specifically called to be teachers. But if you're a parent, you're also called to teach your kids. And to speak often takes courage. You know, you've got to break the sound barrier. You know, it's true in prayer, and it's true in our witness. And actually, there is a spiritual gift that particularly, I think, helps us when we think, I don't know what to pray. And it helps us kind of get going in prayer, in particularly praying things that are just deep in our hearts. And it's the gift of tongues. Again, this isn't a gift that is for everyone. Again, 1 Corinthians 12 at the end is really clear from that. It says at the end here, do all speak in tongues, with a question mark, as implied as he goes through this list? Clearly not. So this is not a gift that everyone gets, but I would say it is a common gift. It is not a sign of being filled with the Spirit. Let me say this again. It's not the sign of being filled with the Spirit, with the underlining on the, but it can be a common sign that God's Spirit is at work. And you see that in the book of Acts. It's often the one that's linked with, God's Spirit's at work. Look at they had that. It happened for the disciples. And so I want to just say that it's a gift that I would really encourage you, if you've got this gift, to use it. And if you don't have this gift, to not be afraid or ashamed of saying, you know what, I'd love that gift. I spent years in my life thinking, I do think this gift is real, and I used to pray for it often. Probably for at least 5 years I prayed for this gift. And then in a time in my life when things were really hard, I was really kind of a bit overwhelmed by everything. I had just so many different thoughts going on in my mind and my heart. I couldn't really express them. I went to someone and they just simply asked me, they said, have you tried praying in tongues about that? And I just said, well, I don't actually speak in tongues. And they said, oh, well, would you like to? I said, I've been wanting to for 5 years. And they said, well, would you like me to pray for you? And I said, okay. And I thought, well, I've done this before, nothing's happened. But as they prayed for me, and they encouraged me as they prayed for me to just in faith believe that God's got good gifts. Not for super spiritual people. To just start speaking and just pouring out my heart to God in praise, and then to just allow it to come. And I found myself speaking in tongues, and it blessed me in my prayer life so much. It was just in this context with one other person who was mentoring me. And one of the things that I would just say is, you know, even again recently, God's been reminding me to use that gift. You know, if God gives us a gift, it's there to be used. Use it in my own personal devotional lives. And we've, over the years, whether in evening sort of prayer meetings or small group settings, community groups, or, you know, when we're praying for people, even sometimes on a Sunday morning, someone's got a tongue and they might bring it. But also when it's in a public setting like this, it's really important that we then wait for the interpretation, because one of the things 1 Corinthians 14 says is that God is clear. He wants to speak clearly. And so I was thinking about the gift of tongues and thinking, this is a little helpful breakdown for us on this. Speak, listen, and then speak. So if you've someone with that gift, yet speak in the tongue and then listen for the interpretation. And it might be that someone else brings that and they speak out the interpretation. It might be if you are the one who's brought the tongue, you often have a sense of what was something in your heart that you were pouring out your heart to God about. And the gift of tongues is so helpful for kind of those groans and areas where we don't quite know how to put it into words. And then as that happens, it might be you speak out if no one else does and say, I think it was like this. Because the gift of interpretation is not an exact translation. It's a sense of, this was the kind of sense of that that word. This is, you know, what it seemed to imply. And so, again, the gift of interpretation isn't like for the, it's not the glass vase, it's like the Lego. I'm just going to have a try at this. I think God might have been nudging me on this. And even if you don't have that gift of tongues, but you hear someone speak out of tongue, just speak to God in prayer. Speak, God, if you want me to have the interpretation, would you just give me something? And then listen. And then if you put something on your heart and you can't, you kind of think, I think I'd feel more peaceful if I shared this rather than kept it in, then speak it out. So, how do we keep growing in these things? Well, I want to get really practical just as we come towards the end and just say the use of spiritual gifts are so vital in the life and health and mission of the church. You know, the risk of getting it wrong is not nearly as big a risk as not engaging in the first place. So, I want to encourage you, if you have a spiritual gift, particularly if it's one that involves speaking, use it. Use it in your community group or your kind of discipleship groups of twos and threes. Often those smaller settings are some of the best places to grow and learn. But also, if you think, you know, I don't know what gifts I have, how would I find out? In our weekly news this week, and we'll put it in next week again, is a great kind of a survey where you can kind of do out a little questionnaire, and there's a link to this in the weekly news, and then you can kind of discover what some of your gifts are. And if you also look on that weekly news, there's actually a great kind of list. If you're thinking, well, what exactly is this gift or that gift? It's all there in that weekly news. So, practical suggestion, read your weekly news email. See, it's not that complex, is it? And then if you've got something on there where you think, actually, I'd really now like to start serving in some way, Steve Walker has offered to be a kind of point contact. If you're not yet serving somewhere and like to, do use that. So try things. Give it a go. Ask someone to pray for you, even today, say, I'd love to have this gift. I'd love to start that. Don't be worried if it doesn't happen anything that week or next week. Like I said, for me, some things didn't happen for 5 years. Other things I'm very much feel like I'm still growing in. But here's the thing. Gifts are received by faith. And often it's not so much about receiving the gift, it's about using the gift, which takes faith and action. And faith expresses itself in the action that is always loving. So whichever of the gifts you're using, 1 Corinthians 13 makes it so plain that without love, they're pretty pointless. You know, if I speak, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong. See, it doesn't sound that great. Or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. It all flows out of love. I think I did break it, actually. Oh, no, there you go. It all flows out of love. I was thinking with this kind of new leader election, which leader do you want to have? I mean, really, we want a leader with integrity. We want someone who believes that truth does matter. We want someone who's going to do and say whatever they do with love. And I was thinking, you know what? I'm so glad Jesus is the king above all kings and leader of all leaders, aren't you? the one who always spoke what is true, who always acted so lovingly, whose words came with power and authority, but also with compassion and gentleness. You know, this is the one that we can look to. Whatever you're going through, trust him. Trust him. He knows what you're facing. And let's come in faith. He's not going to give us gifts that are going to be bad for us. He wants to give us good gifts. So let's look to him and receive. And so I'm going to ask the band to come forward, and I'm just going to pray that faith would arise in us and that we'd be attentive to turn from unbelief and those unloving things and invite the Holy Spirit to fill us afresh. And we're going to take some time to listen and time to speak. The band, just get ready. Let me pray. And I'm just going to pray, come Holy Spirit. And then as I band stop playing, I'm just going to come down and lead us in a time of listening. So Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Come Holy Spirit, we pray. Powerful, you're generous, you're loving. Lord, you pour out your spirit, pour out your gifts, we pray in this time. Lord, speak to our hearts, and if there are things you want to say to us, Lord, speak in this time. Lord, you've been speaking, and we want to keep listening.